Hello, welcome to the Tribune podcast. I know we said last week in Dortmund that we probably won't be doing these that regularly this season, but I'm in Berlin this weekend, so I thought, well, why not? Hopefully, yeah, there'll be a few interesting bits and bobs that we can pick up here. I was at a Division 5 game last night, Tennis Borussia Berlin against Blau-Weiß 90 Berlin, so a local 5th Division derby. Interesting story at Tennis Borussia, which I'll try and write something about at some point. But while I was there, I bumped into Dan.
Hello.
Who's an English teacher.
English teacher at an international school in Berlin, that's right.
Okay. And you're a Hertha fan.
I'm a Hertha fan. I've been a Hertha fan ever since I moved here, really, in 2012. So I've had a season ticket for the last 6 years. And it's become my burning cup.
And, yeah, so now, I mean, it's worked out quite well because we're now sat in a beer garden about an hour ahead of kickoff between Hertha Berlin and SC Paderborn.
Big clash.
Yeah, a big bottom of the table clash.
Six-pointer.
Well, yeah, they're the only two clubs who are, as yet, still without a win in the Bundesliga. Yeah. Is that something to be excited about?
I'm not sure it's something to be excited about. I think I'm not concerned about Hertha this season. I think they're not going to get relegated. The first few games were obviously disappointing. New coach, quite a few new players. You can see that things haven't quite worked out so far, but I'm pretty sure they'll finish mid-table. I think, unfortunately, their only chance of being in the Europa League this season was if everything had gone their way, and clearly already it hasn't. So
actually started relatively well, didn't it? I mean, 2-2 draw away at Bayern.
The first game was fantastic. I mean, the first game to be winning against Bayern away from home at half time was hugely exciting. And even at full time, we drew 2-2 to get a point away against Bayern. It was a great start. So, all right, we've only got 1 point after 4 games, but one game was actually a good result. We've already got the most difficult fixture of the season behind us, and we got a point from it. The other games, I feel like what we haven't been able to do in any of the other three games, the ones we've lost, is take the lead. And I have a feeling that today we'll take the lead, and once we take the lead, obviously that changes the dynamic of the game very significantly. I have a feeling that once we take the lead, we'll probably win 2-3 nil. I think that Čović has set the team up to be quite aggressive, which I think means that when you concede and you're training, can make it quite difficult to break teams down. But I think today's going to be different. We've also only played one game at home, you know. So yeah, we've got 1 point after 4 games, but because of things to do with the fixtures, this is only the second home game of the season. So we've played 3 away games, 1 home game, and I'm not concerned really about relegation. I think it's far too early anyway to be concerned about.
What are your thoughts about Ante Kovac? Obviously, you replaced Pal Dardai this season.
He
was promoted from within.
Yeah, I was a big Dardai fan. I thought it was the wrong thing to sack him. I didn't really understand the thinking behind sacking him. I mean, it was. You've got to be careful what you wish for, right? Because it seemed like the manager Preetz was tired of Hertha being mid-table, and he wanted to change something in order to see if we could push for Europe, and of course the danger with that is potentially you end up in a relegation fight. But I think actually, to be honest, I didn't know much about him. I don't follow the under-23s that closely. I've only seen him a couple of times. I didn't know much about Čović at all. But listening to him speak, he seems like he understands what's gone wrong when we lose. It seems to me like he's a strong personality without being a sort of domineering type of coach. I like him actually.
Do you feel like
I like Dardai, but I like Čović.
Do you feel like he's getting the most out of Hertha Berlin's squad? Because there are some decent big names in that squad. Dodi Lukebakio was a record signing, from Dusseldorf.
Not really.
Davy Selke is an experienced Bundesliga striker, relatively experienced Bundesliga striker. Marvin Plattenhardt has international caps. Andre Duda was outstanding last season.
Andre Duda is my favourite player.
But he's not replicated that this season as yet.
Not quite. I think it's clear that we've had quite a few new players join the squad this year. We've got quite a big squad actually, which is not ideal. I think it's clear that Čović is still working out what the best starting 11 is, and there's been quite a bit of experimentation, quite a bit of swapping around. I think that's going to happen today as well. I'm not sure if Lukebakio is going to start. I think he'll probably play at some point. but inevitably a coach needs time to get to know his players and to see them in game situations. So I suppose, to answer your question, he's not getting the best out of the players at the moment, but I think that's understandable.
Do you think
with Marius Wolf coming, you know, after three games in, you know, he played pretty well last time against Mainz. I think he's going to be a really good player for Hertha. But it's the same with Luka Bakio. It's pretty unusual for a new player to come in and to be integrated immediately. So I think it will take a bit of time, and I'm willing to be a bit patient.
There's been some other developments around Hertha this season. This summer, an investor by the name of Lars Windhorst invested heavily in Hertha. I think he purchased 37.5% of the club for €125 million. So suddenly, Hertha Berlin, who have not historically been the richest club in German football, suddenly they're awash with money. They're expecting another tranche of €100 million to come by the end of the year, or at least by the end of the season.
Yep.
Suddenly Hertha have a lot of money, and once again there's talk of Hertha developing, getting bigger, climbing up the table and even pushing for European places. How's that development been seen in Berlin and among Hertha fans?
I think it feels to me like there's not a clear feeling either way. It feels like the fans are sort of waiting to see how this develops. I've not heard fans really celebrate this, but I've not heard really, really strong criticism either. And it's something that we always expected this to happen at some point, and it feels like there's uncapped potential in Hertha. This is the capital city of one of the biggest footballing nations in the world. 5 years ago, World Cup winners. This is the capital city of one of the most successful national teams in the world. And obviously, if you look at other European capitals, they have at least one team competing in the Champions League, if not more. And so it feels like it's an anomaly. Obviously, there's historical reasons for that, given the history of Berlin. But it felt like at some point this was going to happen. I don't know a huge amount about Lars Windhorst. From what little I do know, it sounds like he's the sort of investor that you would probably prefer, in that he's a self-made millionaire. It's an interesting story there. I think there's a bit of a shady story maybe about some tax issue at one point, but generally he seems like the sort of investor you would prefer to have compared to the sort of individuals that have invested in some other clubs. So personally, I think I'm happy about it. I'm looking forward to seeing how things develop. I think he is clearly the investment. It's clearly one of the reasons why people have been so disappointed with the start of the season. It's unrealistic to expect an immediate impact, but there was all this optimism before the start of the season, and of course that hasn't yet come to fruition. But really, I mean, we're talking about such a short period of time since that investment, and clearly, you know, if you invest that amount of money in a club, it's going to take years before you see the real effect of that. So.
There've been quite a few false dawns at Hertha down the years, haven't there? A couple of relegations at the start of the decade.
Yeah, when I moved here, they were in the second division. Yeah,
And then, well, even as high as Pal Dardai leading them into the Europa League,
which was unfortunately a disappointment when they got there. I think the Europa League is probably what ultimately we should be looking for within the next 5 years. And the other thing that is very close to a lot of Hertha fans' hearts is the cup, and that's particularly whilst we're still playing at the Olympic Stadium here. There's plans to build our own stadium by 2025, so we've got sort of 6 years to maybe have a cup final at home.
That's an interesting story around Hertha, isn't it? They've never played in a cup final at the Olympic Stadium.
That would be something. Semi-final against Dortmund a few years ago.
Well, the reserves have.
So that's probably as big a hope as Europa League, if not more, really. To play a cup final here will be something very, very special. So,
as I said, although Hertha never played in the final, the Hertha's reserve team
They did, yeah, they did. That was a few years ago, yeah. It's quite an irony, really.
One of the more bizarre, more ironic stories in German football. Yeah. we're talking about the reputation of Berlin as a football city. I think, well, this year, arguably, Berlin's got a perfect argument to say they're the capital of German football. They're the only city with two Bundesliga clubs.
Yeah.
How has the promotion of Union been received among Hertha fans?
With very mixed feelings, I think. From my perspective, the sensible fans realise it's a good thing for Hertha. I mean, it really puts the spotlight on the city for the reason that you said. I think it will mean a third game this season, other than those against Bayern and Dortmund, when the stadium is full, and that's always a special atmosphere. You know, it'll be full when we play Union. And I think it's a good thing, but of course it's very hard to have a city rivalry without there being a bit of hate and a bit of spice in it. So you'll hear Scheiß Union quite a lot from the Ostkurve.
It's an interesting history though, isn't it? As we were saying before the while Berlin was still split during the Cold War, and before the wall came down, there was actually a friendship, wasn't there, between Hertha fans and Union fans. And
well, I mean,
you
were saying,
if you look at some of the older fans who have some of the old denim jackets on, they're called Kutten here, aren't they? They often have old Union badges
on
them, don't they?
And you know, you can be queuing up to go into the stadium, and you'll see a young guy with a Scheiß Union t-shirt next to an older guy wearing a denim jacket with the Union badge on, which is really it's this kind of weird split between the younger generation who are keen to nurture this hate against the East Berlin rivals and the older generation who, I think, you need to respect that history. And so I found last weekend when we lost against Mainz, I must admit, I was kind of glad that Union didn't win last weekend, because I think if they'd have won and we'd have lost, that would have really rubbed salt in the wound. If we win today, Union are very welcome to win against Leverkusen. They're away at Leverkusen today. It's going to be interesting. I think this is the first time they've played simultaneously. So when we're in the stadium this afternoon, we're going to get the goal updates from that game.
Okay.
I imagine when Leverkusen scores, they probably will. There will be a cheer, quite a big cheer. That's going to be one of the interesting things about this season. When we get updates.
You're very confident of a Leverkusen game. I mean, I've been at two recently, a 0-0 against Hoffenheim and the 2-1 against Lokomotiv Moscow in the week.
I mean, obviously the Union's win against Dortmund has really shaken things up a bit. And it's a case of wait and see, was that a one-off or have they really got the quality there to beat the big teams? I suspect not, really, but I wish them well. I want them to stay up.
With Union's promotion, a lot has been written in English and in German about what Union Berlin stand for. I mean, I don't think we need to go over it all again, but standing terraces, they built their own ground, fans bleed for the club.
A lot of respect.
They've got this this reputation of being very, very close to the fans, and they've got a very, very strong identity.
Yep.
Does that not throw into sharp relief what Hertha stands for, or rather doesn't stand for, or put another way, what does Hertha Berlin stand for?
Yeah. And I think if you ask the ultras, if you ask the guys that are there in the Ostkurve every home game, they would probably recognise that too, that there's something about the way in which that club is run that you have to respect. And the guy that's in charge of marketing here at Hertha, Keuter, he gets an awful lot of criticism, and often quite rightly, because the vision for what kind of club it wants to be isn't really clear. I think there is a bit of a sort of identity crisis, and obviously Berlin's changed a lot in the last sort of 10, 15, 20 years, changed hugely as well. So I think it's understandable that Hertha are trying to work out what their identity is, what their position is in Berlin.
They've tried to jump on that on several occasions, haven't they? I mean, there have been various marketing and promotional campaigns for Hertha in recent years, which have gone in all sorts of different directions. I mean, some of them have been trying to jump on this reputation of Berlin as a start-up city with a lot of young, booming companies.
Hip place to be, which was a mistake, clearly.
Yeah, they said they were a Berlin start-up since 1892.
Yeah.
That backfired a bit. They then...
We try, we fail, we win.
That was the classic,
terrible marketing slogan. I mean, it sounds dreadful.
But now the latest attempt is they're actually, rather than going completely international and digital and English language, they've actually sort of gone back on themselves now, haven't they?
Yeah.
They're putting a lot of focus on being
the regions of Berlin, having special games associated with particular regions, and And it's good to see. I mean, that's really the sort of thing that I'd like to see the club do. And
it does suggest that they don't actually know what they want to stand for, what they want to be.
They seem to be working it out. As Berlin changes and becomes maybe a bit more international, I think the club's responding to that, and they just need obviously to remember and to stay loyal to the fan base.
Do you reckon Union are giving them a little bit of a kick up the arse then in that sense?
maybe, yeah. And I think it gives her to something to think about and something to respond to.
You mentioned the stadium before. Yeah. I think that's another big topic that always comes up in connection with Hertha BSC. They play in the Olympic Stadium, which is, I think, is it probably the biggest stadium in Germany?
Third biggest after the Allianz Arena, okay. And the, what's Dortmund's stadium called now? Signal Iduna Park?
Okay.
Best Fallon Stadium.
Other insurance companies are available.
Yes. Yeah.
Feel free to join us.
It's an informal podcast.
Yeah, you mentioned the stadium.
Yeah.
I heard they get a lot of stick for it because it always looks half empty.
Which often is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And will be today.
But having said that, they still average 35,000, 40,000. In almost any other stadium in Germany, it would be pretty much full.
It would. And that's why they needed their own stadium, I think. Because if you can imagine that number of fans in a stadium where the fans are up against the pitch, the atmosphere is going to be pretty incredible. You know? And I know that Frankfurt have a reputation for having the liveliest, most intense atmosphere in the Bundesliga. That's true, probably. Frankfurt is one of the other places, Dortmund, obviously. But we can have that. And the only reason that I think we don't have that is because we have a running track. We play in the Olympic Stadium. And I think the noise that the Ostkurve can make when they're fully behind the scenes is fantastic. You know, they're really loyal fans. You know, I think when Hertha were in the second division, the attendances didn't go down that much. Yeah, that core group's pretty loyal and pretty loud. So Hertha in their own stadium, I think, without a running track, it would be a fantastic atmosphere. And it probably, I think Dardai's theory was that it would make 10 points difference every season. So I don't know how you can quantify that. But
how to quantify a running track in points?
Three wins we would have otherwise have lost plus a draw. But I can see how it could make a difference. I mean,
let's talk about the stadium options then, because I mean, it's been quite a convoluted story. They wanted to build a new purely football stadium in the Olympic Park here, so next door to the Olympic Stadium. But that has ultimately fallen through because they would have had to move. They would have to knock down, I believe, 24 houses. Was it?
Yeah, not everyone.
And then by German law,
do that, understandably,
the club would then have to replace the houses in a suitable, similar location, similar quality, and that's fallen through for the time being. Another proposal has been to build a new stadium outside the city limits in the state of Brandenburg.
Really not popular at all.
No. Yeah. Well, I saw this one yesterday, but that. It obviously didn't go down well with Hertha Berlin fans and members because they see themselves as a Berlin club and they didn't want to have a stadium.
Particularly now Union are also in the Bundesliga outside of Berlin.
Yeah. But by all accounts, that came as a surprise to the club. The fans was
well. It's a surprise that it came as a surprise because it shouldn't have come as a surprise because clearly it's important to the club's identity that's in Berlin. I mean, I've noticed that for the marketing department of the club seem to want to make it the club of Berlin and Brandenburg. And you'll hear, I think, when the team is introduced.
Just make it clear, Brandenburg is the federal state which surrounds Berlin. Berlin is a city in its own right, but it's in the middle of the state of Brandenburg.
Yeah. And when the team runs out onto the pitch, if I'm not mistaken, they welcome people from Berlin and Brandenburg, right? Berliner, Brandenburger, so they want to make it.
Oh, they make a point of doing that.
Yeah, which I can understand, obviously. But if the stadium were in Brandenburg rather than Berlin, then I think that is a bit of a problem. But I suppose, really practically speaking, what's more important is the transport connections and how easy it is.
Every time I open the newspaper, the stadium's going to be in a different location.
Somewhere right? Sort of
Messer. They were saying the last one was close to the conference centre, some car park
that could be cleared.
Tegels,
that's the latest one I've heard that there's potential plans to use the land which would be given up by Tegel Airport, but that would only be available once the new airport Berlin Brandenburg is open. But we've been waiting for that in Berlin for 8-9 years, haven't we?
It's a bit of a running joke.
Yeah.
But if the the plan is to be playing in our own stadium by 2025. And I guess the airport's probably going to open at some point in the next 2 or 3 years.
The latest is October next year.
Yeah. So Tegel should be a realistic possibility, and I guess there's good transport links there. So I guess for me personally, it would be a slightly longer journey, but I don't necessarily have a major problem with that. I think it would probably, on the whole, be a good move for her to, if the stadium would be built in Tegel.
Okay, interesting stuff, lads. Let's finish off by just bringing it back to today then.
Yep.
I said, bottom against second bottom Paderborn.
Yep. Big game.
Are you expecting a first win of the season this afternoon?
Definitely. In fact, I've got it all planned out. Hertha are going to score in the first 20 minutes. They're going to score a second before half time. It's going to be 2-0 at half time. In the third half, they're going to be full of confidence. They're going to score a third. It's going to more or less put it to bed. They're going to take the foot off the gas a little bit once it's 3-0. 3-0 at full time.
They need to win today. They just need to win. Really. It's not been the best start to the season.
No.
They just need
looking
to win.
Looking at the fixtures coming up, it's on paper relatively... Well, favourable, isn't it? Paderborn at home today, then Cologne away, also newly promoted. Dusseldorf at home.
Should win that one, although he didn't last season.
Bremen away could be a tough one. Hoffenheim home. Hoffenheim haven't been that good this season either.
Sure, and then... be looking to win that one as well.
And then Union.
Oh, that's a definite win.
Okay, well...
3 points in the back for that one.
Thank you, lads.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Full time in Berlin. Hertha Berlin 2, SC Paderborn 1, which means Hertha's first win of the season. Paderborn still winless and bottom of the league, but Hertha, the fifth attempt to finally got off the mark. Back in the beer garden with Dan,
and
joined by Ben as well,
and by
Graham. Lads, congratulations on your first win of the season. Thoughts on that?
Not really feeling ecstatic. Obviously, it's always good to get your first win of the season, but it wasn't a particularly convincing win. I think
really
a strange passage in the second half.
Good start from Hertha, and a really incredible solo goal from.
That was brilliant. Yeah. I really regretted not mentioning De Rosen in the first part of this podcast, because we've always been big fans of him. He seems to be a real talent.
You popped on the bandwagon post-match.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what it seems like. Yeah. Last year he had a few injuries and so he didn't play a major part. But what we saw of him was really quite exciting. I mean, he's fast and skillful. He's not necessarily so much of a goal scorer himself, but we've always kind of believed that he can set up goals. Obviously, today he scored the goal. It was more or less a solo goal, and he's definitely a really exciting talent. And,
well, Hertha didn't really build on it, did they?
Strangely not. And
but he's also good on the ball, which you can't say for Davy Zelka.
No.
Every single time Davy Zelka was through on goal, he managed to mess it up. Every single time.
Yeah,
flagged offside twice as well.
Yeah. I want to believe that he's going to play a major part, but he's just... You get to a point where he's just disappointed too often for you to really believe that it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Now, how often do you keep kind of persisting with this guy? And you know what was interesting to say is that Čović started with him, which was such an opportunity for him. This was such a huge opportunity for Zelka to really assert himself. Because he doesn't normally start. Normally he comes on halfway through the second half, and the kind of defence for a long time from those people that are Zelka fans is that he's not had the opportunity to really assert himself on a game from the very start, and until he had that chance, and then he didn't really take it.
You would have thought as well, I mean, whether it's right or wrong that Hertha were sat quite deep against Paderborn, we can discuss that later. But the fact that they were doing that, you would have thought that would have suited Selke's game, actually.
A little bit.
But as I said,
this is the thing about Luca Bacchio, you know, like you were saying, they bought Luca Bacchio after he had an amazing season at Dusseldorf, after he's suited to counter-attacking teams, and then Hertha are set up to play with possession. Do you know what I mean? And then they have this, you know, record signing who's more suited towards scoring goals on the break.
You think today was the day to bring him on?
And I'm, I, I dare I compare Dodi Luca Bacchio to Thierry Henry.
Very flattering, Sissoko.
As somebody who's a fast winger, who's good with the ball at his feet, who I think should be a center forward, I think Luca Bacchio is their best player right now to play center forward. I think he's better than Ibisevic or Zilka.
Does Ante Kovic know what sort of football he wants to play at Hertha?
I think if you asked him, he would.
I think everybody says they're going to play attacking football. They're going to play attacking football. I mean, he started the first few games with three at the back, and then they got to draw Byron playing three at the back. And I think now, there's so many players overlapping, and there's so many players out wide. Everybody says, okay, he's going to score lots of goals, and they're going to just focus on scoring goals. But
I mean, today
they've been pretty exposed in the last three games.
Today was back to a 4-2-3-1 thing, against Paderborn.
At times today, he did.
But at times today, Paderborn had over 60% possession. Yeah. That can't be.
And what were the corners? The corners were like 8-2 or something.
7-1 or 8-2. In Paderborn's favour. Yeah. A couple of good saves from Rune Jahrstein as well in the Hertha goal. That can't be Hertha's expectation to be sitting back against Paderborn and hitting Paderborn on the break, can it?
Not to that extent. I mean, I think it's okay to a certain degree. Inevitably, when you take the lead and you've not had a win yet this season, you want to secure that win. But the extent to which Hertha sat back and allowed Paderborn to have the ball, I think, was worrying for me. And isn't a great sign. It's a very strange feeling. We ought to be celebrating first victory of the season, finally got up and running with a win. Yeah.
3 points.
Oh, hey! But it is...
It's 3 points. I really don't care. At the way they played the last few games.
It's one of those wins where you think, okay, that's good that we won, but what kind of a indicator is that of the rest of the season? And strangely, in the first part of this podcast, I was quite confident about how the season would go, and ironically, after a win, I'm probably less confident. I said 3-0. I said a goal in the first 20 minutes, and that part was
weird
that happened.
It could have been 4 or 5-1.
I think there was a chance shortly before half time.
Well, the one finishing at one point.
Alles klar, ich komme gleich rum mit dir.
Und wie geht's? Schön, dich zu sehen.
Gut, geht's mit dir?
Lange Zeit, ja.
Ja. Aber ich bin noch nicht mehr so oft hier. Nur so, wenn es gebraucht wird.
Ja, okay.
Vielen Dank.
Die große spielt wie Paderborn, oder? Noch weiblich.
Ja.
Ja, it's...
I mean, at one point today, Hertha did go 3-1 up, but the goal was then ruled out by...
I wasn't able to judge, really. That might be the reason,
To summarise, Davy Selke was sent through on goal, but he was offside, I thought so as well. Yes. The linesman also spotted it, although he raised his flag really late. He waited till Selke had shot, the keeper had saved it, and David would then put the rebound in the net.
Yeah.
At that point, the linesman then put his flag up. And even the Hertha player celebrating next to the linesman didn't even seem to realise that his flag had gone up. They then checked VAR and the correct decision was made. Yeah, okay, no goal. But then the screen showed up goal. So everyone was completely confused.
That was terrible. That was an unavoidable source of confusion, which I think will really make those people that are critics of VAR, it's more fuel to their fire of why VAR is a problem. I was actually a fan of VAR before it came in. And now, since it's come in, I realise there are problems with it.
And you need
to be able to celebrate a goal without worrying about whether or not it's going to stand.
Yeah.
You don't want to see a goal be scored and then celebrate with this thought in the back of your mind that it's going to be rescinded.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening far too frequently.
However, it's
a real shame.
The strange one today is, like I said, the linesman got the decision absolutely correct.
Yeah,
anyway.
that was an unusual screw-up, which I guess won't happen very often. It was a bit of an anomaly.
As a North American...
It shouldn't happen.
As a North American who's used to video replay, enhancing referees' abilities to correctly decide the game, I'm not all... against it. I think it is the correct decision.
It ruins the live experience. That's the most important thing, is the live experience.
The room for human error, you know? But it is actually the right decision. Like, if you were being scored against and the player was clearly offside and the decision was wrong, you would want that goal to be overturned because it wasn't a goal. You know what I mean? It wasn't a valid goal. And I think this is where it's like, you know, your subjectivity comes in as a fan of that team.
What do you think those fans in the Oskova would say if you made that argument with them? Because like you said, that they were shouting football mafia.
Yeah, exactly. They'd say it shouldn't be part of the game. They'd say that it doesn't belong in the game.
I think it's not quite right to think that the most important thing is the accuracy of the decisions. I am willing to tolerate a certain number of inaccurate decisions if it means that when your team scores a goal, you know it's going to stand. And there's this real problem that I try to concentrate when Hertha are playing. When I see a goal go in, normally I celebrate because I assume it's going to stand. But I've noticed that whenever Hertha score a goal now, there's this thought in the back of my mind that maybe VAR is going to get involved. And so my celebrations, my goal celebrations, are kept in check, even if it's a completely valid goal, because I may not have paid attention to every aspect of the build-up play. And it's not impossible that there was a handball in the build-up play that is going to result in the referee overruling the goal. And so you cannot celebrate a goal, even if you've been paying close attention to the match, without this fear in the back of your mind that there's a potential that it could be overruled.
And the
importance of being in the moment and being able to celebrate a goal is being damaged by VAR.
Fortunately, Hertha don't actually score that many goals.
Exactly.
Although they did get a second today through Marius Wolf. That was a really good finish. Did you see that one? Did you miss that one as well?
I think I missed that one as well, actually. Yeah.
Hertha have got the first win of the season. You've missed both goals.
I miss a lot of goals. Yeah,
can I say that we call this we call this toilet magic?
Okay.
Usually when Dan goes to the toilet, he has to score.
Okay. Well, lads.
The thing is that it's always that the TV audience feels more important than the audience in the stadium, I think, is the end of that, you know? Which is unfortunate.
Well, thanks for your thoughts anyway, lads.
You're very welcome.
What's up next week? Cologne away?
Cologne away next Sunday, yeah. Thank you.
Are you going?
Unfortunately, I can't make it to Dusseldorf next home game, which is only the third game I would have missed in the last 5 years, so I feel pretty bad about that.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm sure it's going to be a comfortable 3-0 win, and I don't need to be here to support the team. Because
and predictions next week away at Cologne? What are your thoughts?
That's an interesting one.
Was it 4-0 they got beat today?
Yeah, I think Hertha have generally done okay away against Köln in recent years.
Yeah.
I think the atmosphere in Köln is generally pretty excellent. I mean, the Köln fans are really good fans, get behind their team. But Hertha seem to have done okay there. So I think a one-all draw would be okay.
Not another 3-0 prediction.
I'm not going to be that complacent. I think a draw would be a good result for Hertha, and I think a draw is quite a likely result for Hertha as well. So I think 1-1 is what I'd go for.
So we'll see how it goes next week then. Cheers.
Thanks so much.